Let's get to the headlines.
Hello and welcome to Healthcare Strategies Headlines Edition.
Woo! Yeah.
Today's episode, Change Healthcare Cyber Attack Fallout Continues. United Healthcare Group scrutinized for alleged antitrust practices. New resident training schedule reduces burnout, improves wellness. AI smartphone tool accurately diagnoses pediatric ear infections. This is Kyle Murphy, Vice President of Editorial at Exelgent Healthcare, and I am joined...
After a very long time.
Finally, after a long month off from illness, Kelsey Waddell. How are you?
We survived the 2 months of the year where everybody gets sick and falls like flies. Twice, in some cases. Like you.
One of these years, I'm gonna realize that winter is just not a good time to get certain things done that involve your voice.
Yeah.
And being on camera. I will learn my lesson, I swear.
Next year.
That's always, hope springs eternal. And then next week, we are jetting down to Orlando for HIMSS 24.
Yes, we are.
Where we'll be on site capturing content with a lot of folks across the healthcare industry. And we are jazzed and very, very happy to bring you some fresh new content from the front lines.
From the
conference from Florence. All right, Kelsey, let's get into it because we got a lot that happened while we were vacationing, sickness-wise. All right. In response to the Change Healthcare cyber attack, HHS announced CMS support measures for affected healthcare providers following industry requests for guidance. Actions include facilitating new EDI, that's electronic data interchange enrollments for Medicare providers, changing clearinghouses, encouraging payers to expedite or waive certain requirements, and issuing guidance to relax prior authorization and utilization management requirements. CMS will consider accelerated payment requests for hospitals facing cash flow issues due to the attack, and HHS emphasizes the importance of cybersecurity resilience in healthcare and continues to monitor the UHG's, United Health Group's, response to the incident. Optum, for its part, has initiated a temporary funding program beginning on March 4th to support providers affected by the Change Healthcare cyber attack, aiming to alleviate short-term cash flow challenges. Despite these efforts, industry groups have criticized the response as inadequate, urging Congress and HHS for broader support to address the financial and operational difficulties faced by healthcare providers due to the ongoing disruptions. Kelsey, we also heard that there was a $22 million ransom paid.
Yeah.
So somebody got rich off healthcare, and this time it wasn't the health plans or anyone else for that matter. So question for you, big question. Consolidation in healthcare, it seems to come at another cost here, which is taking out one of the big connectors can cause some real problems. What are you thinking?
Yeah, that's something that HHS highlighted in its response to the situation, which, by the way, it took over a week to get a statement on. But this crisis, definitely highlights how strong cybersecurity is not just a nice thing to have. It's like integral for a healthcare system that is slowly but surely moving towards greater interoperability. This has been like the push for the last few years, is we must have interoperability. But the thing that maybe we haven't been talking about as much is that this also creates a lot of vulnerabilities, which is what we're seeing right now.
Yeah. You need those guardrails on the highway.
Yeah.
It actually does help.
It's actually, they're there for a reason.
They are.
HHS did have a cybersecurity concept paper that it's been pointing people to about what we should do in the future. People can look on the HHS website to see that. But in the current, obviously, it doesn't really help anyone. But yeah, so one of the things that our associate editor, Jill McKeon, has really been on top of the coverage of this.
Yes, she has.
One of the things that her most recent coverage really highlighted was the impact on small and mid-sized providers is going to be huge. It already is huge. They're either going to have to switch platforms entirely, which is a huge lift, or some of them are potentially going to have to shutter because the payments that are happening... AHA indicated that UHG's funding program was fundamentally inadequate. That's a quote.
That's a tough one. That's a tough pill to swallow.
That's what we're looking at right now. So
next week ought to be interesting. I'm interested to see what the water cooler talk is going to be next week. I can't imagine it's good. And with that in mind,
speaking of Optum, it's also under scrutiny in other areas.
Again?
Oh. Yeah, the Department of Justice is investigating whether Optum's ties to the major health insurer United Health Group presents an antitrust violation, according to the Wall Street Journal, which broke the story. Optum is now 90,000 physicians strong, and the DOJ is looking at Optum's physician group acquisitions to see how these acquisitions might have impacted local competition, not just among providers, but also among payers. Did United Health Group favor Optum in contracts? Did Optum providers seek to increase Medicare payments for UHG through heavier documentation? Mm-hmm. And does UHG end up absorbing more than the regulated 15 or 20% of premiums through its Optum providers' payments? These are the kinds of questions that investigators have been exploring in recent weeks as they question healthcare stakeholders. In the past, United Health Group leaders have defended UHG's relationship with Optum, which the CEO has described as, quote, strictly an arm's length relationship. Meanwhile, UHG is also facing a DOJ evaluation of its potential Amedisys acquisition and a private antitrust lawsuit from providers in California. So they've got a lot going on right now.
That's a lot.
There's also the Change Healthcare thing. So, Kyle, Optum became a subsidiary of UHG in 2011. And so I'm curious what you think about the timing of these antitrust investigations and what signals it sends to the rest of the industry.
So I say first things first. I think one of the things we need to realize is FTC kind of scrutinizes some of these mergers and acquisitions. Mm-hmm. They look at how the businesses have functioned. And they heavily scrutinize, well, you need to divest of this and divest of that.
Right.
But DOJ is going to keep an eye on things moving forward. So just because a deal is approved by the federal government doesn't mean that there isn't some kind of follow-up.
Mm.
And the other thing is, let's talk about optics and let's talk about partisanship. We see that everywhere right now. If it looks to be the situation where folks are starting to assume types of things, I think that warrants at least an audit or a scrutiny to say, is this really happening? Because you have this one giant monster in healthcare now. And we know what happens when you get these big kaijus. They eventually get so big you can't control them, and their impact can be rather significant.
Yeah.
I finally got to talk about kaiju on the podcast. Jeez.
That's a milestone right there.
All right, let's go on to the next one. A little bit of good news for our providers out there. We know you're struggling, and we hope help is on the way. So a recent JAMA Network Open study demonstrated that a 4+4 block schedule for internal medicine residents significantly reduced burnout rates and improved various self-reported outcomes compared to the traditional 4+1 block schedule. Now, I do math. 4+4 is 8. Mm-hmm. 4+1 is 5. But apparently, mm-hmm. it's a little bit more nuanced than that. The schedule involves residents alternating between 4 weeks of inpatient care and 4 weeks of outpatient care. So to the acute, to the non-acute, subacute. The research conducted at a single institution surveyed first and second year postgraduate internal medicine residents before and after implementing the 4+4 schedule. Results showed notable decreases in emotional exhaustion and depersonalization scores, with minor changes in personal achievement scores. Hey!
Hey,
personal achievement.
Look at them go.
Additionally, the study found improvements in 11 out of 15 wellness measures, professional development, engagement factors evaluated by a questionnaire. These findings suggest that the new block schedule, the innovative block schedule, may enhance resident well-being and professional growth, and it warrants further consideration by internal medicine residency programs across the nation.
Hmm.
Kelsey, 4+4 is simple math. But is it likely to prove a solution to provide a burnout?
Yeah, simple math for a very not simple problem.
Yes.
The workforce challenges in the healthcare sector are definitely not going to be solved by one model, but what it might do is help us establish a precedent for a better rhythm of working, both for residents and for already fully inducted physicians. Both categories of people need help on this. And every step toward a more sustainable model of healthcare workforce management is significant in my book, because the skills are so skewed toward unsustainable practices.
Oh, 100%. Everyone needs a break. Yeah. Everyone needs balance in their lives. And one of the things we probably need some relief from, Kelsey, is infections.
Yes.
So what we got last on today's docket?
Well,
give me something.
Along with new workflows, new tools can really help alleviate providers' burdens. And one new tool that hit the headlines this week was the arrival of an AI-powered smartphone app that can really help diagnose a specific type of ear infection. So unless you're a parent, you might not have ever heard of this, but it's called Acute Otitis Media, AOM.
Mm.
And unfortunately, it's fairly common among kids and requires antibiotic treatment. But
Yuck.
It's also very easy to confuse with a different infection called otitis media with effusion that does not require antibiotics.
Oh.
But researchers are saying that this new app might give pediatricians a bit of an edge on diagnosing these infections. According to the study published in JAMA Pediatrics, researchers trained 2 AI models on videos taken of UPMC pediatric patients' inner ears. One model model was a finalized deep residual recurrent neural network algorithm, and the other was a decision tree model. I think they should have an acronym
Nerd talk.
For that, but yeah. Anyway, the app itself evaluated these videos and identified certain features of the eardrum that differentiate AOM from its doppelganger. The videos that were used to train this model were manually categorized beforehand as either AOM or non-AOM to assess the accuracy. And for context, among human pediatricians, the diagnosis accuracy rate ranges from 30 to 84%. The AI achieved a much higher rate of success. The finalized deep residual recurrent neural network algorithm, which I need an acronym for.
Acronym to be determined.
Was found to have a sensitivity of 93.8% and a specificity of 93.5%, while the decision tree model...
That's pretty good.
Yeah, had a 93.7% sensitivity and 93.3% specificity, which just means really good.
Those are A marks.
Yeah. Researchers said that this demonstrates not only the power that AI has in improving diagnosis rates, but also getting better support for patient, caregiver, and provider education around this disease. So, Kyle, we are hearing all the time about new uses for AI.
Yes.
What do you think about the proliferation of tools like this?
This is what I'm talking about when I think AI that's useful.
Yes.
Like this, diagnostics that are leading to actual decisions so you don't end up at the ED or the urgent care facility when you just need to ride it out with a warm compress and some fluids.
Right.
Let's not be silly and let's be a little serious here. It's like antibiotics are being overprescribed and antibiotics are losing their effectiveness. And we cannot continue to create a greater problem down the road where we can't benefit from what's been the old reliable playbooks. So it's time. It's time. And thank goodness somebody has done something practical.
Yeah.
And I look forward to next week where we learn about all the impractical things that you can do with AI.
Which are many.
Like, I don't need an AI girlfriend or boyfriend. That's all I'm saying. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Well, folks, that's been Healthcare Headlines. Well, Healthcare Strategies Headlines.
Healthcare Strategies Headlines.
See, I'm out of practice. I'm rusty. Healthcare Strategy Headlines. And we'll be back soon with more rich content. Remember to follow, like, subscribe. We miss you, and we'll see you soon.
See you soon. Bye.
This is a TechTarget production.